morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass.
That means it's time for a school update here on KCSI KOAK Radio. Tune in each weekday morning at 6:15 a.m. as we visit with schools from throughout the Country Sunshine listening area.
Back in the classroom, open your book. Good morning, Sunshine Country. Ron Lorenz with me this morning, the superintendent of the Red Oak Community School District. Mr. Lorenz, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, Mr. Lorenz?
I'm doing all right.
It's Monday morning.
It's kind of a somber day.
Yeah.
It's really difficult time for our school district.
So, Mr. Lorenz, there was a Red Oak student that passed away last week.
That's correct.
And yeah. I know that with that comes extra responsibilities, but as one of those things, as a parent, my heart goes out to everyone involved in that situation. I mean, I just cannot wrap my brain around that, Mr. Lorenz. It's just, but. What's going on with the school?
Well, like you said, we recently lost one of our own, a young man named Ryland Mertz, who was an 11th grade student at Red Oak High School, was involved in an accident over spring break. Tragically, we lost him.
Mm-hmm.
Ryland wasn't just a student. He was really part of our Tiger family. He had strong relationships. He was a great kid. He made a positive difference in the lives of a lot of people around him, and he's going to be deeply missed. And that's kind of what's front and center for all of us right now. Mm-hmm. Of course, our hearts are with his family, his friends, everyone who knew him and loved him. We're certainly keeping them in our thoughts and our prayers, and we just ask that people respect their privacy as they grieve. And one of the things that we're really mindful of right now is that grief looks different for everybody, especially for young people. Some kids may not know how to process something like this, and that's okay. Some adults may not know how to process something like this, and that's to be expected as well. So we're really encouraging families to just take time to talk with their kids, to listen, to reassure them, because how we respond as adults really matters in situations like these. We need to help those kids work things out, particularly things that are this difficult, this hard. At school, we've made counselors and support staff available for any student or staff member who needs somebody to talk to, and we want families to know that we're here for them too. At the end of the day, this is where living in a small community really matters. We come together, we support one another, we take care of each other, and right now we're going to continue to do that and to honor Ryland's memory in the days ahead. So we're just hoping for everybody's grace, everybody's prayers. You know, think about all those kids that are suffering. Think about those staff that have cared for that child, that mm-hmm. have invested in that child, that love that child, and just know that they're feeling this very personally as well. So I know that kind of casts a pall over the whole thing, but that's kind of what we're really focused on today, and certainly thinking about Ryland's family,
mm-hmm.
All of his loved ones. This is something that no family should have to endure. So it's like our heart just breaks kind of over and over. So that's we're gonna get through it. We're gonna lean on each other, but it's gonna be a tough couple weeks.
Yeah. Counselors available at school, Mr. Lorenz?
We do have additional grief counselors at both Inman and the junior senior high school. We're going to meet with staff first thing this morning and kind of bring them up to speed as much as we know about the situation and give them some suggestions and some talking points and just strategies that they can use to support kids, whether that's just keeping a keen eye on everybody, whether it's listening, whether it's giving kids space, whatever they need. Ultimately, we're just urging them that if something feels out of place, that they let somebody know. We don't want anybody to slip through the cracks, and we're going to make sure that we do everything possible to provide the support that not just kids, but adults need as well.
Yeah, your staff as well. Mr. Lorenz, we'll have counselors available for your staff as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's going to be, like I said, kind of a somber day, a somber few days, but, you know, maybe weeks.
Yeah.
But, again, just keep the Mertz family in your prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mr. Lorenz, that will be taking place. I know services are this week, I think. We have that information, but
I believe there's certainly the visitation is scheduled for Thursday afternoon at the Lorette Funeral Chapel.
Correct.
There is a service on Friday.
Yeah.
So,
again, at the Lorette Funeral Chapel. So.
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Lorenz. I mean, I don't know. That's a
where do you go from?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we can talk about some things going on at school, but that's one of those that just
we do.
I mean, you just can't wrap your brain. You know, pray about it. That's my solution to something like that.
It's hard, and I think it weighs on everybody. I know I've been thinking about it pretty much nonstop all weekend.
Yeah,
and I wasn't close to this young man like many of the teachers and staff were. Mm-hmm. Certainly, kids were.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this, you just have this sense of how do we take care of everybody? How do we make sure that everybody's able to not just do, you know, go through their day-to-day, but also just come to terms and cope with this awful tragedy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you said, this is something that nobody should have to endure.
Right.
So, but I do have confidence in our staff. I have confidence in our community. I know we've been in tough situations before, and that's usually where our best comes out. You know, we lean on one another, we get through it, and we'll do that here too.
Okay, Mr. Lorenz, let's talk a little bit about activities going on. Where do we want to go from there? You want to talk about things? Because you are going to continue.
It is spring.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend it was 90 degrees. And
it was summer and spring and winter this weekend all together.
It's ironic because I was, like I said, I was just looking for things to kind of occupy my mind. So I really jumped into some yard work. And on Saturday I was in his shorts and T-shirts and just sweating. And then yesterday I stepped out and thought, my goodness, it's December again. So,
yes,
which makes sense because I was thinking on Saturday it's baseball season and now it's back to, okay, I guess it's track.
Yeah.
But that being said, our spring athletic season has, I want to say officially begun. Officially, practice has started on February 23rd for track.
Right.
And our indoor track team has had a number of contests this past weekend. They were at the Northwest Missouri State Indoor Meet, placed sixth out of 22 teams. Great showing.
Yeah.
Cale Hall was a champion in the 60 and the 200. Bryce Williams had a great 1600, and Reese Montgomery just missed first place in the 800. So it seems like our track team is poised to do great things yet again.
Yeah.
Boys golf, tennis, soccer all start this week. So it's kind of like spring is here, and we even have events scheduled this week. I think we have, what do we have? Track, I think, is at Lewis Central on Thursday.
Okay.
And then we have boys soccer at Underwood on Friday. So kind of back to the routine.
When are ISASPs? Do you know?
Actually, they were scheduled for next week. We are contemplating delaying those a week. We have to get a waiver from the Iowa Department of Education to do that, but we think given our current circumstances, it might be best if we just push those back so that kids have an opportunity to you know, be at their best, put their best foot forward on those tests rather than being distracted by other things and, you know, having bigger issues on their mind than a test.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's going to occupy a lot of bandwidth, sure.
But that is coming.
Yep.
That's something that it's important. We try not to put too much emphasis on that because we want those test scores to take care of themselves. But at the same time, those test scores are a reflection of what we're doing. So we really encourage kids to be engaged, to put their best effort into those. I think sometimes kids don't get a sense that those tests are very important. But for us, they certainly are. I think a lot of adults look at those and they use that as a metric. And I know that we can do better. So we're going to encourage kids to do that. We're hoping that parents will do likewise. Make sure your kids are getting to bed. Make sure your kids are eating meals. Make sure your kids are doing all the things that they can to be cognitively present, focused as much as possible, and just do their best.
So, Mr. Lorenz, Ron Lorenz with me, superintendent of the Red Oak Community School District. Spring break last week, back at it this week. Like you say, track season underway. tennis is upcoming.
Yep.
That's going to get underway here very soon as well.
Soccer.
And what am I leaving off?
What are you leaving
Golf?
Off? Golf.
Yeah. So it's that time.
It is, and it's an exciting time because this is when the cabin fever starts to set in. We're going to have more warm days than cool days, and I think everybody starts getting antsy to be outside. Mm-hmm. And when I say everybody, I think that
everybody.
Impacts adults more than kids.
I know it does.
So that's one of the things you kind of have to rein people in while at the same time you're just as excited as they are.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about construction. If people have driven by Inman Elementary, they would note that there's a construction project. They're fencing up and a job trailer and big piles of dirt. What's going on there?
It's really going well. You and I were talking off air. Those folks are highly professional and highly efficient. They get in and they start on something, and it gets done pretty quickly. So, as you said, anybody who's been past Inman in the last couple of weeks, you probably noticed that the canopy over the front entrance has been taken down. They are shoring up the exterior wall of the cafeteria so that they can start demolishing and moving that out. A lot of work last week in terms of breaking out concrete so they have access to the sanitary sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're pouring footings, may have poured footings this past week. So a lot of work. They're moving quickly. I think the best news for us is that they're focusing on the exterior of the building and doing everything they need to do outside the building so that we don't have to disrupt school.
Right.
We don't have to disrupt lunch service. We don't have these tremendous distractions going on. Now, as soon as school is out, they're going to start tearing into that building.
Right.
But I'm getting more and more confident that they are indeed going to have that completed by the time school starts next fall, and we're going to have business as usual.
That's kind of the goal, right?
That is absolutely the goal.
Yeah.
And it's a big one. So Boyd Jones is really doing a good job.
How is the transition into, you know, the Inman drop-off and pick-up is a topic every year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's congested, a lot of students, and that's just any school, especially elementary schools across America, that's something that's dealt with. This throws a little bit of a wrinkle into that with disrupt traffic patterns and whatnot. How's that going?
I think it's going well. Now, I say I think it's going well because, by and large, most people extend grace. Most people are cooperative.
Yeah.
And I think everybody, for the most part, has adapted well. Now, you're always going to have some stinkers who think the rules don't apply. They're going to try to throw a monkey wrench into things. We've had very little of that. So it's gone as well as we could expect. I appreciate the city granting a waiver that allows us to close Inman Drive, you know, to two-way traffic for drop-off and pick-up each day.
Right.
That has helped. Boyd Jones has helped us in terms of getting some signage. Jane Shelley and her staff have done a really good job logistically just mapping how do we get this done and how do we make sure that everybody can get in and out. Our secretaries are doing double duty because we don't have that line of sight access to the building anymore. So they say that they're putting in a lot of steps to make sure that they can greet people at doors and let people in and those kinds of things. So everybody's doing their part.
And it will get to be a routine somewhat, but still, you know.
About the time that school lets out, it will become routine, and then we will change it back next year.
Well, and it is, you know, every year it's a topic of discussion. But it is one, just be careful. If you don't have to travel through that, I know that I say that a lot, but if you're traveling to work, from work, whatever your course of travel may be, if you don't need to be in that area during drop-off and pickup from, say, 7 to 8 and 3 to 4,
right,
just avoid it if you can.
I think that's just good practice
just
in general.
A school zone, just avoid it if you can.
You had mentioned that it's a challenge under the best of circumstances. I'm going to tell you, and I've said this to you before, I've served in a number of districts. It exists everywhere.
Yeah.
Every elementary school in the state and in the country has similar challenges. And when I compare our own challenges to other districts that I've been in, it's not
I mean, it's
not
just,
that terrible.
You know, you just have but, to, you know, you're going to have a lot of people coming and it's going to be over.
And I know that, that folks here focus on here.
Yeah.
So for them, it's a big hardship, but I would just ask people, just keep in mind that this is kind of part of doing business around an elementary school, and we do our best to make it as efficient, to make it as painless as possible, but there's only so much we can do when you're trying to move that many kids in and out of an area.
Yeah, and construction projects, it's just can be challenging in and of themselves. So
I like to focus on the end product. We're going to have
good.
It's going to be a really positive thing for our kids and our community. So that's a good thing.
So, Mr. Lorenzo, if you again have been by it a few times, and it is, you can see that. I mean, it when they moved in and got going. So,
and I think what's kind of neat about the emphasis on the outside is people passing by are really going to be able to get a sense of what's happening. So often the construction is, it's kind of hidden. It's indoors.
Yeah.
You can't really see what's happening. Well, this is kind of the reverse of that, because people are going to see, well, I can see progress. That makes me feel kind of excited. So, hey, speaking of excitement.
Yeah.
Something that I am really excited about, I think you and I have talked about, we've been talking about it for months. Our application to join the Western Iowa Conference has been officially approved.
It's real at this point.
I know that our board approved that, and all of the other boards approved that in August, I believe. But the state finally got around to officially putting their stamp of approval on things. So I say that breathing a deep sigh of relief, because we've been proceeding as if that were going to happen. We've got schedules developed. So anybody who hasn't heard, I just want you to know that we are officially moving to the Western Iowa Conference starting next year.
Yep.
It'll be, I think it's going to be a positive thing. We've been attending leadership meetings with the WIC, and I like a lot of the things that they're doing. So looking forward to it.
There you go. Okay. Online school.
Online school.
Tell me what's going on with the virtual school. It still continue to accept new students?
We're trying to slow that down at this point, because the year's coming to the end and we've got a lot of logistical things that are going on in terms, you know, ISASP testing, coordinating that statewide is no small feat. So I think that they are still accepting students, but we're trying to slow that down just so that we want to do it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be a place that just takes anybody and everybody. It's not a money grab. It's not a let's just fill these things as much as possible. So we're trying to do it the right way. We're trying to be measured. But at the same time, we do want to grow the program. Right now, we're at about 115, 120 students. And that's a little bit slower than what we were hoping. I think initially they projected we would have 500 to 700 students.
Yep.
But I think just the coming to terms with the bureaucracy here in the state of Iowa, that's one of the things that we hear from the Stellar folks. They operate schools all over the country, and it's just a different beast here in Iowa. There are just different requirements and more bureaucracy that they have to navigate.
Yeah.
So we're figuring that out. It's going well at this point, so I do expect that that would continue to grow. And we're grateful for it, because it's a revenue source that, frankly, we need, and it's helping us. So looking forward to that expanding even more.
Okay, Mr. Lorenz, I want to ask you a question that there's maybe no way to answer. So I recognize that. Are there groups, and maybe there is, are there groups, many times organizations will have think tank type groups, you know, like a think tank to where's it going? What's the future? What does this look like in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? No one knows the answer, again, so you can't know. Are there those think tank groups for education? What does the future of education look like? I feel that it is radically changing.
I would agree with that. And when you say, where are those think tanks? I think there are different organizations that try to lead that. School Administrators of Iowa, the Iowa School Board Association are two that come to mind. And they are, Rural School Advocates of Iowa is another organization that I belong to and I'm very active in. Those are groups that try to anticipate, that try to look beyond tomorrow, that try to create a vision. I do think that things are changing so dramatically. You and I both know the pandemic changed everything. Mm-hmm. It just reset people's expectations. And now there's a whole group of people that they just think differently about education. And we as public educators have to adapt to that. I don't think that we can just cling to the traditional model, because I think I used this metaphor prior. The train is leaving the station. We can either get on the train or we can get left behind. That was our thinking in terms of embracing this online model. Now, we actually have two online options. We have the local online, and then we have the statewide program. Mm-hmm. Our kids can avail themselves of either. So that is something that the online model is something I think is going to continue to refine itself. And that's when I say we want to do it the right way. We want to be on the front end of that. We want to be on the cutting edge, and we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can for kids, even though we're not seeing them physically every day. One of the things that's hard for me is I know in my heart that online is not good for many kids.
Yeah, see, that's where I at some point, do people say, we want to go back to a more traditional teacher classroom style setting, or is that, or because, you know, things go in cycles. My kids both really like the 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I love it, Mr. Lorenz.
That's so, indoctrination. You know, so they probably grew up with that.
Well, they did a little bit, but that's okay. But will it come back around to where we're going to say, because now, you know, real butter and eggs are good for you. I remember when butter and eggs were bad for you.
Yeah.
So are we going to come back around and say, okay, you know what? It's better to be in the classroom, and this is what we're going to mandate. Or will it just be at some point, you just kind of pick what you want to do? Your
guess is as good as mine.
That's what I mean. It's nearly impossible. But are there groups that are seriously putting thought into this, or are we just kind of floating along with – This is coming. Are we driving that? What's going on there?
I think there are a number of, as you say, groups that are interested in that. I don't know if there's a concerted effort or a unified effort to say, let's just come up with an answer. I think there are a lot of theories out there, which maybe is the best you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody has a crystal ball. I do think that in our state particularly, we do have to start getting a handle on that. You and I have talked about the fact that across the state, our enrollments are declining. We lost more than 7,000 students last year.
About 7,500 students or something like that.
And I think there are a lot of folks that, again, we tend to focus locally, and we can see our own experience with declining enrollment, and we bemoan that, and we say, what's happening? But we probably need to pan out and realize this is happening not just in our community, but in neighboring communities, in communities across our state. And we have got to adapt. We have got to get leaner. We have got to be more efficient. I think we need to start looking at more and more sharing opportunities, creating economies of scale, trying to use the limited resources that we receive to their maximum. And that's something that I know in our area, we have a number of superintendents that talk about those things pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. I think we all see the writing on the wall. It's just largely a matter of getting others to see it, because people know what they know. Change is difficult.
Yeah.
So when you tell somebody we're looking at something a little bit different than what they experienced, I think the natural tendency is to balk at that. Nevertheless, we have to continue to try to educate people, to explain resources are limited. Mandates are increasing every year. We were talking off air about our legislature just keeps piling more and more and more on, and more often than not, those are unfunded mandates. So it's like you're piling more on the plate, but you never take anything off. Everybody has an expectation. And whether we like it or not, we're in this mentality now in our society, our culture. It's kind of what I call the Burger King. I get to have it my way. That's a challenge. Now it is not lost on me that Burger King went out of business.
In Red Oak anyway.
There are a lot of people that prescribe to that. Yeah, just do it the way I want.
Uh-huh.
That's probably not going to be an option moving forward.
But everyone wants to do what they want to do, especially now with everything that you consume everything individually on what you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you. But that's why, first of all, we have to make sure that our schools are more engaging, that we are really focusing on the things that kids need moving forward. 21st century skills is, that's almost becoming a cliche, but what do kids need to be not just productive members of society, but productive members of the workforce, good human beings. I think that's something that we got a lot of work to do in our society, just getting people to be good people again.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we take pride in our school districts. When you go into our schools, you're going to see a lot of great kids. And that's credit to families, credit to our community, but also credit to our teachers, because that's a point of emphasis. So I just hope if we continue to do the right things, and if we keep our eyes open and we look at what's coming, things like AI, mm-hmm. let's not just slam the door on that. Let's embrace it and make the most of it, even though it is scary. It's scary for us as educators. It's scary for parents. But it's coming. It's not even coming.
Well, it's here.
It's here.
Yeah, and I've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things that's here, and you can either like it or not, but it doesn't change the fact that it's here and it's not going away. So.
All right. You started by saying it, maybe not an answer. I don't think I gave you an answer, but
there's no way to know for sure, and I realize that. But I'm just, I guess, are there people that are wrestling with this in a serious way to try to have some sort? And no one knows, but you know, a lot of those things can ultimately, if you have a really good idea, or your think tanks are, if they know what they're talking about, can really kind of at least give some semblance of what's coming. I don't know. Just something I was thinking about.
Maybe it'll start right here.
It could, right here. I have an idea or two, but most people would not like it, Mr. Lorenzo.
When you say most people, I think it goes back to what you were talking about before. Everybody wants it their way. So I think most people are averse to alternate ideas unless they're
their
ideas.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of education, though. We have to just keep showing people, this is why we're thinking this. This is why we're proposing this. This is why it's good for kids. This is why it's good for families. And you hope that by educating people, more and more people will come around, and then you get this critical mass where it starts to spread, and other people say, okay, I'm willing to give that a try. Whatever that may be.
Yeah. All right. Time will tell, Mr. Lorenz.
You always take us into these kind of philosophical...
It's just where I go. All right, Mr. Lorenz. Anything else we need to be aware of?
Again, just keep the Mertz family in your prayers, please.
Make it a great day, Mr. Lorenz.
You as well. Thank you.
Up in the morning and out to school.